Beker, and Jediael. Bela was the father of Ezbon, Uzzi, Uzziel, Jeremoth, and Iri. They were all brave soldiers and family leaders in their father's clan. The number of soldiers in their clan was 22,034. Beker was the father of Zemira, Joash, Eliezer, Elioenai, Omri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Alameth. The official family records listed 20,200 soldiers in the families of this clan, as well as their family leaders. Jediael was the father of Bilhan and the grandfather of Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Canaanah, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahishahar. They were family leaders in their clan, which had 17,200 soldiers prepared to fight in battle. Was the father of Shuppim and Huppim, who also belonged to this clan. Dan was the father of Hushim. The descendants of Naphtali. Naphtali's mother was Bilhah, and he was the father of Jahziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shalom. The descendants of Manasseh. Manasseh and his Syrian wife were the parents of Asriel and Maker, the father of Gilead. Maker found a wife for Huppim and one for Shuppim. Maker had a sister named Maacah. Zelophehad was also a descendant of Manasseh, and he had five daughters. Maker and his wife Maacah were the parents of Peresh and Sheresh. Peresh was the father of Ulam and Rechem. Ulam was the father of Bedan. These were all descendants of Gilead, the son of Maker and the grandson of Manasseh. Gilead's sister, Hamoleketh, was the mother of Ishod, Abiezer, and Mala. Shemida, another descendant of Manasseh, was the father of Ahian, Shechem, Lichai, and Anaim. The descendants of Ephraim. Ephraim was the father of Shuthelah and the ancestor of Bered, Tahath, Eliada, Tahath, Zabad, and Shuthelah. Ephraim had two other sons, Ezer and Eliad. But they were killed when they tried to steal livestock from the people who lived in the territory of Gath. Ephraim mourned for his sons a long time, and his relatives came to comfort him. Sometime later, his wife gave birth to another son, and Ephraim named him Beriah, because he was born during a time of misery. Ephraim's daughter was Shirah. She built the towns of Lower Beth-horon, Upper Beth-horon, and Uzzen-Shirah. Ephraim also had a son named Repha, and his descendants included Resheph, Tela, Tahan, Laden, Amihud, Elishama, Nun, and Joshua. The descendants of Ephraim took over the territory as far south as Bethel, as far east as Naaran, and as far west as Gezer. Their territory included all the villages around these towns, as well as Shechem, Aya, and the nearby villages. The descendants of Manasseh settled in the territory that included Bethshan, Taanach, Megiddo, Dor, and the nearby villages. The descendants of Joseph lived in these towns and villages. The descendants of Asher. Asher had four sons, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah, and one daughter, Serah. Beriah was the father of Heber, and Malchiel the father of Berzaith. Heber was the father of three sons, Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham, and one daughter, Shua. Japhlet was the father of Pasach, Bimhal, and Ashvath. Shomer was the father of Ahi, Roga, Hubba, and Aram. And Japhlet's brother Hotham was the father of Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Amal. Zophah was the father of Sua, Harnifer, Shuel, Beri, Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shama, Shilsha, Ithran, and Beera. Jether was the father of Jephunneh, Pispah, and Era. Ulla was the father of Era, Haniel, and Reziah. These were the descendants of Asher, and they were all respected family leaders and brave soldiers. The tribe of Asher had a total of 26,000 soldiers. More descendants of Benjamin. Chapter 8. Benjamin had five sons, who were born in the following order: Bela, Ashbel, Ahera, Noha, and Rapha. Bela was the father of Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Shephufan, and Huram. Ehud was the father of Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. They were clan leaders in the town of Geba, but were later forced to move to the town of Manahath, and Gera led the way. He had two sons, Uzzah and Ahihud. Shaharaim and his wife Husham had two sons, Abitub and Elpael. But Shaharaim later divorced her and his other wife, Beera. Then he moved to the country of Moab and married Hodesh, and they had seven sons, Jobab, Zibiah, Mesha, Malcham, Jeaz, Sakiah, and Mirmah. They were all family leaders in his clan. Elpael was the father of Eber, Misham, and Shemed, who settled the towns of Ono and Lod, as well as the nearby villages. Beriah and Shema were family leaders in the clan that lived in the town of Ajalon and that forced out the people of Gath. Beriah's descendants included Ahio, Sheshach, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpah, and Joha. Elpael's descendants included Zebediah, Meshullam, Hizkai, Heber, Ishmerai, Izliah, and Jobab. Shimei's descendants included Jachim, Zichri, Zabdi, Elaenai, Zelethai, Eliel, Adea, Berea, and Shimrath. Shashak's descendants included Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zichri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anthathijah, Iphdia, and Penuel. Jeroham's descendants included Shamsherai, Shehariah, Athaliah, Jeorishiah, Elijah, and Zichri. These were the family leaders in their ancestors' clan, and they and their descendants lived in Jerusalem. Jeiel settled the town of Gibeon. He and his wife, Maacah, lived there along with their sons who were born in the following order: Abdon, Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zeker, and Mikloth, the father of Shimea. Some of them went to live in Jerusalem near their relatives. The descendants of King Saul. Ner was the father of Kish and the grandfather of King Saul. Saul had four sons: Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan was the father of Meribbaal, the grandfather of Micah, and the great-grandfather of Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Saul's other descendants were Jehoada, Alameth, Asmaveth, Zimri, Moza, Biniah, Repha, Eleasa, Azel, as well as Azel's six sons: Azrikam, Bakaru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. Azel's brother, Eshek, was the father of Ulam, Jeush, and Eliphelet. Ulam's sons were brave soldiers who were experts at using a bow and arrows. They had a total of 150 children and grandchildren. All of these belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. The people who returned from Babylonia and settled in Jerusalem. Chapter 9. Everyone in Israel was listed in the official family records that were included in the history of Israel's kings. The people of Judah were taken to Babylonia as prisoners because they sinned against the Lord. And the first people to return to their towns included priests, Levites, temple workers, and other Israelites. People from the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh settled in Jerusalem. There were 690 people from the Judah tribe who settled in Jerusalem. They were all descendants of Judah's three sons: Perez, Shelah, and Zerah. Their leaders were Uthai, Asaiah, and Juel. Uthai was the son of Amihud, and a descendant of Omri, Imri, Bani, and Perez. Asaiah was a descendant of Shelah. Juel was a descendant of Zerah. There were also 956 family leaders from the Benjamin tribe who settled in Jerusalem. They included Salu, son of Meshullam, grandson of Hodaviah and great-grandson of Hasanua; Ibniah, son of Jeroham; Elah, son of Uzai and grandson of Mikri; Meshullam, son of Shephatiah, grandson of Reuel, and great-grandson of Ibnijah. The priests who settled in Jerusalem. Here is a list of priests who settled in Jerusalem. Jedaiah, Jehoiarib, Jachin, Azariah, who was a temple official and whose ancestors included Hilkiah, Meshullam, Zadok, Meraioth, and Ahitub. Adaiah, son of Jeroham, whose ancestors included Pashur and Malchijah. Maasai, son of Adiel, whose ancestors included Jozira, Meshullam, Meshillemeth, and Immer. There was a total of 1,760 priests, all of them family leaders in their clan and trained in the work at the temple. The Levites who settled in Jerusalem. Here is a list of Levites who settled in Jerusalem. Shemaiah, from the Merari clan, whose ancestors included Hashab, Azrikam, and Hashabiah, Bakbakar, Hiresh, Galal, Mattaniah, son of Micah, whose ancestors included Zichri and Asaph, Obadiah, son of Shemaiah, whose ancestors included Galal and Jeduthun, Berechiah, son of Asa, and grandson of Elkanah, who had lived in the villages near the town of Netophah. The temple guards who settled in Jerusalem. Shallum, Akub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their relatives were the guards at the temple gates. Shallum was the leader of this clan, and for a long time they had been the guards at the king's gate on the east side of the city. Before that, their ancestors guarded the entrance to the Levite camp. Shallum, son of Kori, as well as the other men in the Korahite clan, guarded the entrance to the temple, just as their ancestors had guarded the entrance to the sacred tent. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, had supervised their work because the Lord was with him. Zechariah, son of Meshelemiah, was also one of the guards at the temple. There was a total of 212 guards, all of them listed in the family records in their towns. Their ancestors had been chosen by King David and by Samuel the prophet to be responsible for this work, and now they guarded the temple gates. There was one full-time guard appointed to each of the four sides of the temple. Their assistants lived in the villages outside the city, and every 7 days a group of them would come into the city and take their turn at guard duty. The four full-time guards were Levites, and they supervised the other guards and were responsible for the rooms in the temple and the supplies kept there. They guarded the temple day and night and opened its doors every morning. The duties of the Levites. Some of the Levites were responsible for the equipment used in worship at the temple, and they had to count everything before and after it was used. Others were responsible for the temple furnishings and its sacred objects, as well as the flour, wine, olive oil, incense, and spices. But only the priests could mix the spices. Mattathiah, Shallum's oldest son, was a member of the Levite clan of Korah, and he was in charge of baking the bread used for offerings. The Levites from the Kohath clan were in charge of baking the sacred loaves of bread for each Sabbath. The Levite family leaders who were the musicians also lived at the temple. They had no other responsibilities because they were on duty day and night. All of these men were family leaders in the Levi tribe, and were listed that way in their family records. They lived in Jerusalem. King Saul's family. Jeiel had settled the town of Gibeon, where he and his wife Maacah lived. They had 10 sons who were born in the following order: Abdon, Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth, the father of Shimeon. Some of them went to live in Jerusalem near their relatives. Ner was the father of Kish and the grandfather of King Saul. Saul had 4 sons, Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan was the father of Meribbaal, the grandfather of Micah, and the great-grandfather of Python, Melech, Taria, and Ahaz. The descendants of Ahaz included Jera, Alameth, Asmaveth, Zimri, Moza, Binia, Raphaiah, Eleasa, and Azel and his 6 sons, Azrakam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan.
King Saul and his sons die. Chapter 10. The Philistines fought against Israel in a battle at Mount Gilboa. Israel's soldiers ran from the Philistines, and many of them were killed. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons and killed 3 of them, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting was fierce around Saul, and he was badly wounded by enemy arrows. Saul told the soldier who carried his weapons, "Kill me with your sword. I don't want those godless Philistines to torture and make fun of me." But the soldier was afraid to kill him. Then Saul stuck himself in the stomach with his own sword and fell on the blade. When the soldier realized that Saul was dead, he killed himself in the same way. Saul, 3 of his sons, and all his male relatives were dead. The Israelites who lived in Jezreel Valley learned that their army had run away, and that Saul and his sons were dead. They ran away too, and the Philistines moved into the towns the Israelites left behind. The next day the Philistines came back to the battlefield to carry away the weapons of the dead Israelite soldiers. When they found the bodies of Saul and his sons on Mount Gilboa, they took Saul's weapons, pulled off his armor, and cut off his head. Then they sent messengers everywhere in Philistia to spread the news among their people and to thank the idols of their gods. They put Saul's armor in the temple of their gods and hung his head in the temple of their god Dagon. When the people who lived in Jabesh in Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, some brave men went to get his body and the bodies of his 3 sons. The men brought the bodies back to Jabesh, where they buried them under an oak tree. Then, for 7 days, they went without eating to show their sorrow. Saul died because he was unfaithful and disobeyed the Lord. He even asked advice from a woman who talked to spirits of the dead, instead of asking the Lord. So the Lord had Saul killed and gave his kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. David becomes king of Israel. Chapter 11. Israel's leaders met with David at Hebron and said, "We are your relatives, and we know that you have led our army into battle, even when Saul was still our king. The Lord God has promised that you would rule our country and take care of us like a shepherd. So we have come to crown you king of Israel." David made an agreement with the leaders and asked the Lord to be their witness. Then the leaders poured olive oil on David's head to show that he was now king of Israel. This happened just as the Lord's prophet Samuel had said. David captures Jerusalem. Jerusalem was called Jebus at the time, and David led Israel's army to attack the town. The Jebusites said, "You won't be able to get in here." But David captured the fortress of Mount Zion, which is now called the City of David. David had told his troops, "The first soldier to kill a Jebusite will become my army commander." And since Joab, son of Zeruiah, attacked first, he became commander. Later, David moved to the fortress. That's why it's called the City of David. He had the city rebuilt, starting at the landfill on the east side. Meanwhile, Joab supervised the repairs to the rest of the city. David became a great and strong ruler because the Lord All-Powerful was on his side. The Three Warriors. The Lord had promised that David would become king, and so everyone in Israel gave David their support. Certain warriors also helped keep his kingdom strong. The first of these warriors was Jashobeam, the son of Hachmonai, the leader of the three warriors. In one battle, he killed 300 men with his spear. Another one of the three warriors was Eleazar, son of Dodo the Ahohite. During a battle against the Philistines at Pasdammim, all the Israelite soldiers ran away, except Eleazar, who stayed with David. They took their positions in a nearby barley field and defeated the Philistines. The Lord gave Israel a great victory that day. One time the three warriors went to meet David among the rocks at Adullam Cave. The Philistine army had set up camp in Rephaim Valley and had taken over Bethlehem. David was in a fortress, and he said, "I'm very thirsty. I wish I had a drink of water from the well by the gate to Bethlehem." The three warriors sneaked through the Philistine camp and got some water from the well near Bethlehem's gate. They took it back to David, but he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured out the water as a sacrifice to the Lord and said, "Drinking this water would be like drinking the blood of these men who risked their lives to get it for me." The three warriors did these brave deeds. The 30 Warriors. Joab's brother, Abishai, was the leader of the 30 warriors, and in one battle he killed 300 men with his spear. He was just as famous as the three warriors, and was more famous than the rest of the 30 warriors. He was their commander, but he never became one of the three warriors. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was a brave man from Kabzeel, who did some amazing things. One time he killed two of Moab's best fighters, and one snowy day he went into a pit and killed a lion. Another time he killed an Egyptian who was 7.5 feet tall and was armed with a spear. Benaiah only had a club, so he grabbed the spear from the Egyptian and killed him with it. Benaiah did things like that. He was just as brave as the three warriors, even though he never became one of them. And he was certainly as famous as the rest of the 30 warriors. So David made him the leader of his own bodyguard. Here is a list of the other famous warriors. Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo from Bethlehem, Shammath from Haror, Helez from Pelon, Ira, the son of Ikesh from Tekoa, Abiezer from Anathoth, Sibekai the Hushathite, Ilai the Ahohite, Maharai from Netopha, Heled the son of Baana from Netopha, Ithai the son of Ribai from Gibeah in Benjamin, Benaiah from Pirathon, Hurai from near the streams on Mount Gaash, Abiel from Arba, Asmaveth from Beharam, Eliaba from Shealban, Hashem the Gizonite, Jonathan, the son of Shagi, from Harar, Ahiam, the son of Sakar, the Hararite, Eliphal, the son of Hepher, from Makira, Ahijah from Pilon, Hezro from Carmel, Naarai, the son of Esbai, Joel, the brother of Nathan, Mibhar, the son of Hagri, Zelek, from Ammon, Naharai, from Beeroth, who carried Joab's weapons, Ira, the Ithrite, Gareb, the Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, Zabad, the son of Ali, Adonah, the son of Shiza, a leader in the Reuben tribe, and 30 of his soldiers, Hanan, the son of Maacah, Joshaphat, from Mithon, Uzziah, from Ashtoreth, Shema and Jeiel, the sons of Hotham, from Aroer, Jediael and Joha, the sons of Shimri, from Tiz, Eliel, from Mehava, Jerubai and Joshaviah, the sons of Elnaam, Ithma from Moab, Eliel, Obed, and Jasiel from Mezobah. David's Men at Ziklag. Chapter 12. Sometime earlier, David had gone to live in the town of Ziklag to escape from King Saul. While David was there, several brave warriors joined him to help fight his battles. Warriors from the Benjamin tribe. Several of these warriors were from King Saul's own tribe of Benjamin. They were experts at using a bow and arrows, and they could shoot an arrow or sling a stone with either hand. Their leaders were Ahiezer and Joash, the sons of Shimeah, from Gibeah. Here is a list of those men from Benjamin. Jeziel and Pelet, the sons of Asmaveth, Berekah and Jehu from Anathoth, Ishmaiah from Gibeon, who was the leader of the 30 warriors, Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, and Jozabad from Gedera, Eluzei, Jeremoth, Bealiah, Shemariah, and Shephatiah from Haraph, Elkanah, Ishiah, Azarel, Joezer, and Jeshobeam from the Korah clan, Joelah and Zebediah, the sons of Jeroham, from Gedor. Warriors from the Gad tribe. Men from the tribe of Gad also joined David at his fortress in the desert and served as his warriors. They were also brave soldiers, fierce as lions and quick as gazelles. They were always prepared to fight with shields and spears. There were 11 of them, ranked in the following order. Ezer, the leader, then Obadiah, Eliab, Mishmana, Jeremiah, Attai, Eliel, Johanan, Elzabad, Jeremiah, and Machbani. All these men were army officers. Some were high-ranking officers, over 1,000 troops, and others were officers over 100 troops. Earlier, they had crossed the Jordan River when it flooded, and they chased out the people who lived in the valleys on each side of the river. Warriors from the Benjamin and Judah tribes. One time, a group of men from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah went to the fortress where David was staying. David met them outside and said, "If you are coming as friends to fight on my side, then stay and join us. But if you try to turn me over to my enemies, the God our ancestors worshipped will punish you, because I have done nothing wrong." Amasai, who later became the leader of the 30 warriors, was one of these men who went to David. God's Spirit took control of him, and he said, "We will join you, David, son of Jesse. You and your followers will always be successful, because God fights on your side." So David agreed to let them stay, and he even put them in charge of his soldiers who raided enemy villages. Warriors from the Manasseh tribe. Some of the warriors who joined David were from the tribe of Manasseh. They had earlier gone with David when he agreed to fight on the side of the Philistines against King Saul. But as soon as the Philistine rulers realized that David might turn against them and rejoin Saul, they sent David away to the town of Ziklag. That's when the following men from Manasseh joined him: Adnah, Jozabad, Jediael, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zelethai. They had all been commanders in Saul's army and brave soldiers, and so David made them officers in his army. They fought on his side when enemy troops attacked. Day after day, new men came to join David, and soon he had a large, powerful army. David's men at Hebron. The kingdom of Israel had been taken away from Saul, and it now belonged to David. He was ruling from Hebron, and thousands of well-trained soldiers from each tribe went there to crown David king of all Israel, just as the Lord had promised. These soldiers, who were always prepared for battle, included 6,800 from Judah, who were armed with shields and spears, 7,100 from Simeon, 4,600 from Levi, including Jehoiada, who was a leader from Aaron's descendants, and his 3,700 men, as well as Zadok, who was a brave soldier, and 22 of his relatives, who were also officers. 3,000 from Benjamin, because this was Saul's own tribe, and most of the men had remained loyal to him. 20,800 from Ephraim, who were not only brave, but also famous in their clans. 18,000 from West Manasseh, who had been chosen to help make David king. 200 leaders from Issachar, along with troops under their command. These leaders knew the right time to do what needed to be done. 50,000 from Zebulun, who were not only loyal, but also trained to use any weapon. 1,000 officers from Naphtali, and 37,000 soldiers armed with shields and spears, 28,600 from Dan, 40,000 from Asher, and 120,000 from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh, who were armed with all kinds of weapons. All of these soldiers voluntarily came to Hebron because they wanted David to become king of Israel. In fact, everyone in Israel wanted the same thing. The soldiers stayed in Hebron 3 days, eating and drinking what their relatives had prepared for them. Other Israelites, from as far away as the territories of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, brought cattle and sheep to slaughter for food. They also brought donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen that were loaded down with flour, dried figs, wine, and olive oil. Everyone in Israel was very happy.
David moves the sacred chest to Jerusalem. Chapter 13. Sometime later, David talked with his army commanders and then announced to the people of Israel, "While Saul was king, the sacred chest was ignored. But now it's time to bring the chest to Jerusalem. We will invite everyone in Israel to come here, including the priests and the Levites in the towns surrounded by pasture land. But we will do these things only if you agree and if the Lord our God wants us to." The people agreed this was the right thing to do. David gathered everyone from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath in the north. Then he led them to Baalah in Judah, which was also called Kiriath Jearim. They went there to get the sacred chest and bring it to Jerusalem, because it belonged to the Lord God, whose throne is above the winged creatures on the lid of the chest. The sacred chest was still at Abinadab's house, and when David and the crowd arrived there, they brought the chest outside and placed it on a new ox cart. Abinadab's sons, Uzzah and Ahio, guided the cart, while David and the crowd danced and sang praises to the Lord with all their might. They played music on small harps and other stringed instruments, and on tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. But when they came to Chidon's threshing place, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out and took hold of the chest to stop it from falling. The Lord God was very angry at Uzzah for doing this, and he killed Uzzah right there beside the chest. David then got angry at God for killing Uzzah. So he named that place Attack on Uzzah, and it's been called that ever since. David was afraid what the Lord might do to him, and he asked himself, "Should I really be the one to take care of the sacred chest?" So instead of taking it to Jerusalem, David decided to take it to the home of Obed-Edom, who lived in the town of Gath. The chest stayed there for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom, his family, and everything he owned. David's Palace in Jerusalem. Chapter 14. King Hiram of Tyre sent some officials to David. They brought along carpenters and stoneworkers and enough cedar logs to build David a palace. David now knew that the Lord had made him a powerful king of Israel for the good of his people. After David moved to Jerusalem, he married more women and had more sons and daughters. His children born there were Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Nogah, Nepheg, Japhiah, Elishama, Bealiada, and Eliphelet. David defeats the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that David had become king of Israel, they came to capture him. But David heard about their plan and marched out to meet them in battle. The Philistines had already camped in Rephaim Valley and were raiding the nearby villages. David asked God, "Should I attack the Philistines? Will you help me win?" The Lord told David, "Yes, attack them. I will give you victory." David and his army marched to Baal Perazim, where they attacked and defeated the Philistines. He said, "I defeated my enemies because God broke through them like a mighty flood." So he named the place "The Lord Broke Through." Then David ordered his troops to burn the idols that the Philistines had left behind. Sometime later, the Philistines came back into the hill country and camped in Rephaim Valley. David asked God what he should do, and God answered, "Don't attack them from the front. Circle around behind them where the balsam trees are. Wait there until you hear the treetops making the sound of marching troops. That sound will mean I have marched out ahead of you to fight the Philistine army. So you must then attack quickly." David obeyed God, and he defeated the Philistines. He even chased them all the way from Gibeon to the entrance to Gezer. From then on, David became even more famous, and the Lord made all the nations afraid of him. David gets ready to bring the sacred chest to Jerusalem. Chapter 15. David had several buildings built in Jerusalem, and he had a tent set up where the sacred chest would be kept. He said, "Only Levites will be allowed to carry the chest, because the Lord has chosen them to do that work and to serve him forever." Next, David invited everyone to come to Jerusalem and watch the sacred chest being carried to the place he had set up for it. He also sent for Aaron's descendants and for the Levites. The Levites that came were Uriel, the leader of the Kohath clan, and 120 of his relatives, Asaya, the leader of the Merari clan, and 220 of his relatives, Joel, the leader of the Gershon clan, and 130 of his relatives, Shemaiah, the leader of the Elizaphan clan, and 200 of his relatives, Eliel, the leader of the Hebron clan, and 80 of his relatives, and Aminadab, the leader of the Aziel clan, with 112 of his relatives. David called together these six Levites and the two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. He said to them, "You are the leaders of the clans in the Levi tribe. You and your relatives must first go through the ceremony to make yourselves clean and acceptable to the Lord. Then you may carry the sacred chest that belongs to the Lord God of Israel and bring it to the place I have prepared for it. The first time we tried to bring the chest to Jerusalem, we didn't ask the Lord what he wanted us to do. He was angry at us, because you Levites weren't there to carry the chest." The priests and the Levites made themselves clean. They were now ready to carry the sacred chest on poles that rested on their shoulders, just as the Lord had told Moses to do. David then told the leaders to choose some Levites to sing and play music on small harps, other stringed instruments, and cymbals. The men chosen to play the cymbals were Heman, the son of Joel, his relative Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and Ethan, the son of Kushaiah from the Merari clan. Some of their assistants played the smaller harps. They were Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah. Others played the larger harps. They were Mattathiah, Eliphalehu, Micneah, Azaziah, and two of the temple guards, Obed-Edom and Jeiel. Kenaniah was chosen to be the music director because he was a skilled musician. Four Levites were then appointed to guard the sacred chest. They were Berechiah, Elkanah, Obed-Edom, and Jehiah. Finally, David chose priests to walk in front of the sacred chest and blow trumpets. They were Shebaniah, Joshaphat, Nathanael, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eliezer.
The sacred chest is brought to Jerusalem. David, the leaders of Israel, and the army commanders were very happy as they went to Obed-Edom's house to get the sacred chest. God gave the Levites the strength they needed to carry the chest, and so they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David, the Levites, Kenaniah, the music director, and all the musicians were wearing linen robes, and David was also wearing a linen cloth. While the sacred chest was being carried into Jerusalem, everyone was celebrating by shouting and playing music on horns, trumpets, cymbals, harps, and other stringed instruments. Saul's daughter, Michal, looked out her window and watched the chest being brought into David's city. But when she saw David jumping and dancing in honor of the Lord, she was disgusted. Chapter 16. They put the sacred chest inside the tent that David had set up for it. Then they offered sacrifices to please the Lord and sacrifices to ask his blessing. After David had finished, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and gave every person in the crowd a small loaf of bread, some meat, and a handful of raisins. David appointed some of the Levites to serve at the sacred chest. They were to play music and sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Asaph was their leader, and Zechariah was his assistant. Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and another man named Jeiel were appointed to play small harps and stringed instruments. Asaph himself played the cymbals, and the two priests, Benaiah and Jehaziel, were to blow trumpets every day in front of the sacred chest. David's Song of Praise. That same day, David instructed Asaph and his relatives for the first time to sing these praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord, and pray in his name. Tell everyone what he has done. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell about his miracles. Celebrate and worship his holy name with all your heart. Trust the Lord and his mighty power. Worship him always. Remember his miracles and all his wonders and his fair decisions. You belong to the family of Israel, his servant. You are his chosen ones, the descendants of Jacob. The Lord is our God, bringing justice everywhere on earth. We must never forget his agreement and his promises, not in thousands of years. God made an eternal promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when he said, "I'll give you the land of Canaan." At the time there were only a few of us, and we were homeless. We wandered from nation to nation, from one country to another. God did not let anyone mistreat our people. Instead, he protected us by punishing rulers and telling them, "Don't touch my chosen leaders or harm my prophets." Everyone on this earth sing praises to the Lord. Day after day announce, "The Lord has saved us." Tell every nation on earth, "The Lord is wonderful and does marvelous things. The Lord is great and deserves our greatest praise. He is the only God worthy of our worship. Other nations worship idols, but the Lord created the heavens. Give honor and praise to the Lord, whose power and beauty fill his holy temple." Tell everyone of every nation, "Praise the glorious power of the Lord. He is wonderful. Praise him and bring an offering into his temple. Worship the Lord, majestic and holy. Everyone on earth now tremble. The world stands firm, never to be shaken. Tell the heavens and the earth to be glad and celebrate, and announce to the nations, 'The Lord is King.' Command the ocean to roar with all of its creatures, and the fields to rejoice with all of their crops. Then every tree in the forest will sing joyful songs to the Lord. He is coming to judge all people on earth. Praise the Lord, because he is good to us, and his love never fails. Say to him, 'Save us, Lord God. Bring us back from among the nations. Let us celebrate and shout in praise of your holy name. Lord God of Israel, you deserve to be praised forever and ever.'" After David finished, the people shouted, "Amen. Praise the Lord." David appoints worship leaders at Jerusalem and Gibeon. David chose Asaph and the Levites in his clan to be in charge of the daily worship at the place where the sacred chest was kept. Obed-Edom and 68 of his relatives were their assistants, and Hosa and Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun, were the guards. David also chose Zadok, the priest, and his relatives who were priests, to serve at the Lord's sacred tent at Gibeon. They were to offer sacrifices on the altar every morning and evening, just as the Lord had commanded in the law he gave Israel. Heman and Jeduthun were their assistants, as well as the other men who had been chosen to praise the Lord for his never-ending love. Heman and Jeduthun were also responsible for blowing the trumpets and for playing the cymbals and other instruments during worship at the tent. The Levites in Jeduthun's clan were the guards at Gibeon. After that, everyone went home, and David went home to his family. The Lord's Message to David. Chapter 17. Soon after David moved into his new palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Look around. I live in a palace made of cedar, but the sacred chest is kept in a tent." Nathan replied, "The Lord is with you. Do what you want." That night, the Lord told Nathan to go to David and tell him, "David, you are my servant, so listen carefully. You are not the one to build a temple for me. I didn't live in a temple when I brought my people out of Egypt, and I don't live in one now. A tent has always been my home, wherever I have gone with them. I chose special leaders and told them to be like shepherds for my people Israel. But did I ever say anything to even one of them about building a cedar temple for me? David, this is what I, the Lord All-Powerful, say to you. I brought you in from the fields where you took care of sheep, and I made you the leader of my people. Wherever you went, I helped you and destroyed your enemies right in front of your eyes. I have made you one of the most famous people in the world. I have given my people Israel a land of their own where they can live in peace. They will no longer have to tremble with fear. Evil nations won't bother them as they did when I let judges rule my people, and I will keep your enemies from attacking you. Now I promise that like you, your descendants will be kings. I'll choose one of your sons to be king when you reach the end of your life and are buried beside your ancestors. I'll make him a strong ruler, and no one will be able to take his kingdom away from him. He will be the one to build a temple for me. I will be like a father to him, and he will be like a son to me. I will never put an end to my agreement with him, as I put an end to my agreement with Saul, who was king before you. I will make sure that your son and his descendants will rule my people and my kingdom forever." Nathan told David exactly what the Lord had said. David gives thanks to the Lord. David went into the tent he had set up for the sacred chest. He sat there and prayed, "Lord God, my family and I don't deserve what you have already done for us, and yet you have promised to do even more for my descendants. You are treating me as if I am a very important person. I am your servant, and you know my thoughts. What else can I say except that you have honored me? It was your choice to do these wonderful things for me and to make these promises. No other God is like you, Lord. You alone are God. Everything we have heard about you is true, and there is no other nation on earth like Israel, the nation you rescued from slavery in Egypt to be your own. You became famous by using great and wonderful miracles to force other nations and their gods out of your land, so that your people could live here. You have chosen Israel to be your people forever, and you have become their God. Lord God, please do what you promised me and my descendants. Then you will be famous forever, and everyone will say, "The Lord all-powerful rules Israel and is their God." My kingdom will be strong because you are my God, and you have promised that my descendants will be kings. That's why I have the courage to pray to you like this, even though I am only your servant. You are the Lord God, and you have made this good promise to me. Now, please, bless my descendants forever, and let them always be your chosen kings. You have already blessed my family, and I know you will bless us forever.
A List of David's Victories in War. Chapter 18. Later, David attacked and defeated the Philistines. He captured their town of Gath and the nearby villages. David also defeated the Moabites, and so they had to accept him as their ruler and pay taxes to him. While King Hadadezer of Zobah was trying to gain control of the territory near the Euphrates River, David met him in battle at Hamath and defeated him. David captured 1,000 chariots, 7,000 chariot drivers, and 20,000 soldiers, and he crippled all but 100 of the horses. When troops from the Syrian kingdom of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of them. Then David stationed some of his troops in Damascus, and the people there had to accept David as their ruler and pay taxes to him. Everywhere David went, the Lord helped him win battles. Hadadezer's officers had carried gold shields, but David took these shields and brought them back to Jerusalem. He also took a lot of bronze from the cities of Tibhath and Kun, which had belonged to Hadadezer. Later, Solomon used this bronze to make the large bowl called the Sea, and to make the pillars and other furnishings for the temple. King Tou of Hamath and King Hadadezer had been enemies,